I bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thankful that we can gather together in freedom and in reasonable health and strength that you're all here. So we ask that God would bless our time together, and thankful for Brother Steve's prayer. And we believe that God, through his greatness, will answer that sincere prayer. Continue to pray that you would hear God speak this morning and not me. I have for a title this morning, 1 Corinthians 11. This message is not mine, it's God's word. The title is not even mine. And no one can say this morning that even the title of the message was my idea. The title and the words of Scripture were given by God. 1 Corinthians 11. And though I might get mixed up at times, I'm not that mixed up that I think it's Left Feast Sunday. And I don't think it's going to hurt us at all to take a look at 1 Corinthians 11 in between our spring Love Feast and fall Love Feast, as the Lord has directed. Might be helpful if you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 11. I just intend to go verse by verse here for a little ways. The first verse says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The Apostle Paul writing here and speaking and saying, follow me. Paul is saying, you can follow me, even as I also follow Christ. Apparently, Paul lived what he preached in order to be able to make such a boast. The minister will preach with the most power when he knows that others can follow his example, the way he lives. A life agreeing with Scripture. But on the other hand, don't blindly follow a man and go everywhere and do everything and believe everything that that man is saying and doing. Every man is a sinner. Every man has mistakes and shortcomings and weak areas. Paul says, follow me as far and as long as and in the things that I follow Christ. It's up to you and I to know the difference. Only the God-man was without sin. Jesus Christ. Follow me, Paul says, as long as I follow Christ. In other words, know the Scriptures. Know whether or not what you're hearing over the pulpit is true and correct. And not taken out of context with the whole of Scripture. And when you listen to the radio and you hear that sermon, and when you turn on the TV and you hear that sermon, if you know the Scriptures and you know what the Bible truly says, you'll know when the Hagees and the Grahams and a whole host of others are not preaching and teaching the all things of the Word of God. And you'll find out that they're not. And I'm telling you this morning, the more you have your radio tuned and the more you have that TV on and you're getting fed spiritually through those, the more you better know the Word of God, lest you be pulled in a wrong way and led astray. Yes, this morning, brothers and sisters, we better be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, where Paul and Silas went to preach. And to teach the Word of God. They went there to teach and to preach. And it says in Acts 17, 10 and 11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Whether these things that they were hearing out of the mouth of Paul and Silas were actually so. Whether they were accurate. Whether they were indeed the words of God. They searched daily. Whether these things were so. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 11. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you, knowing that the Corinthians needed correction. Paul tactfully starts by praising them for what they've done right. Now they will know that he cares about them and he isn't just out there to find fault with them, but pointing out that which they've failed in, where they've gone astray. He starts by praising them. But then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, but. He praises them in verse 2 and he starts verse 3, but. Even though I've just praised you, here's what I've got to say. But. I would have you know the truth. I would have you know how God desires things. That the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. And so there is a but. Despite the praise, something is in need of correction here at Corinth among the believers. And it must have to do with God's order of headship. God, Christ, man, woman. The order is so plain, we can't argue with it. Of course, what God puts in order, man gets out of order, and that causes lots and lots of disorder. God puts it in order, man gets it out of order, and causes terrible disorder, confusion, shipwreck, trial and trouble. What is this concept of headship? That Paul says, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God the Father and God the Son. Might we learn here what is being taught? What is this concept of headship, of an order? God, Jesus, man, woman. Well, in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. But then he says some different words in verses 37 and 38. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Here Jesus is doing the works of another. He and the Father are one, but he's doing the works of his Father. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Also in John chapter 6, again, here we have words in verses 38 to 40 of Jesus. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But then we find Jesus having work to do that is dictated to him by the Father. We have a will for him to carry out of the Father. And yet he and the Father are one. But we have this concept here of headship. God, Jesus, man, and woman. Also in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, that is unto Jesus, then shall the Son, that is God the Son, also himself be subject unto him, God the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we get this concept this morning of headship. Even though there is equality, there is an order. There is a place for the one and there is a place for the other. Is that too hard to understand this morning? That concept, that idea, and that scriptural truth comes down to man and woman. As it is clearly taught here in 1 Corinthians 11. And so what we have here, we have different ones being equal. But we have different responsibilities. What we have here is different areas of accountability. Paul is not the male chauvinist that he is charged with being by the liberal woman of today, even the liberal men who feel Paul cut the woman a raw deal. The rebellious, wicked woman of today would say that Paul is a male lover and a female hater, a male chauvinist, when Paul actually gives equal worth and value to the woman as he does to the man, but he gives distinction in function and responsibility, a difference in function and responsibility. Is what Paul does. Even church women today are rebelling against their God-given place and are getting God's order out of order. And because of that, there is much confusion in the church. Titus chapter 2 gives some admonition for the sisters. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Speaking to women here, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Listen closely, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. We might have forgot that was in the Bible, as there's a trend for women to work outside the home. This is God's word. It's not my idea. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Discreet means modest and decent. Women are to be clothed with a meek spirit. Young sisters clothed with a meek spirit. Shamefacedness, not bold and arrogant, chasing after guys, being popular with the in crowd, giving into that peer pressure to get a little bit more immodest so that the guys take notice. All leads to heartache and trouble in life. Women are to be teachers of the younger, instructing them to love women, to love children, to love their husbands and to love children. They're to be taught to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their husbands. I had a minister's class in which I was accused of bibliolatry because I spoke up in that to the teacher afterward in a very quiet, meek way, I thought, that I felt she just might be out of place. I actually told her she was, for taking the place of a man. And then the label that I got pasted on me was that of being guilty of bibliolatry, a term I had never heard before, a term I had to think about, and I knew what she was saying. She was saying it's actually possible and that I was guilty of it, of raising the word of God higher than Jesus or God himself. And you cannot do such a thing. That was an impossibility for me to be guilty of an idolatry with Bibli attached to the front of it. You know, people like that And people that get this order of headship all out of whack and out of order, they will tell you in one breath that they believe the words of Jesus, the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount. But they do not necessarily believe all the words of the Apostle Paul. After all, he was of one track mind and he didn't really have any place for women. Well, let's not forget. The Word of God says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, even when it says women are to be keepers at home, discreet, chaste. That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by our God. And we're not to choose part of it and discard another part of it at our own flimsy will. What suits us? Women who refuse God's plan for their lives will never, never be fulfilled. You will live a life of craving for that which you don't have. You will live a life of emptiness because you don't have what God willingly was giving you and you refused it. To love your husbands, to love children, to bear children, to teach them. Well, then what about men? Can we let men out of this? I need this, so I'm going to preach it. If your toes get trampled this morning, mine are bloody. Are you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? God, Jesus, man, woman. Don't just think how the woman is supposed to follow at your heels and you have nothing to do because you have your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, to submit to. He is your master. He is your Lord. He is calling the shots. You're not, and I'm not. If we are not submitted to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, we are making it terrible hard for our wives to submit to us. And then we get angry and, oh, out of sorts, when they're not chirping like a bird. And when they're not submitting to us at the level we think they should. When all along we're out of place. Not where we belong. Too many men, and sometimes it's been me, are failing to lead families in God's ways. Our families need men who are willing to put their hands to the plow and not look back. Plow a straight furrow so it's easy to follow. You don't have to wonder if the furrow jumps over here, jumps over there. Not having to wonder if the man that was plowing fell asleep and lost his way. And now is he safe to follow? Will we ever get to the other end where we want to go? We men ought to know where our wives are spiritually and our children. And again, I say I failed. I believe Brother Ray's prayer request is working. Let's keep praying for a spiritual revival among our families and amongst our congregation. We as men should know where the dangers are in our homes. We should know if things are being seen in the home that are unfit and are simply making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And I guess sometimes we men should be making bonfires like they did in the early church and burn those things that are dragging us toward a pit and our families with us. A house cleaning, you might say. Getting rid of the filthiness. Getting rid of music that's not fit to listen to. Getting rid of books that are not fit to look at. We men need to take the lead in this. We are not making fleshly provision, but family members are fulfilling the lust thereof. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not to make provision for all these other things. What is in our home? That's threatening shipwreck. Back to 1 Corinthians 11. We're up to verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. I don't know how man can get it so confused. But isn't it true? What God puts in order, man gets out of order. I don't care who it is, the Pope and all those with him that wear something on their head, and anybody else that wears something on their head when they're praying, they're dishonoring their head. Not their physical head, but they're dishonoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish multitudes could wake up and see the truth of God's word for themselves instead of being led astray by leadership that is false, leading people astray. Verses 5 and 6 of 1 Corinthians plainly says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, then let her hair on and let her cover her hair. That's what it's saying. It's not too hard to understand. Apparently some Corinthian sisters were failing to keep covered. It is so plain here that the covering here is not the hair, but rather a covering for the hair. As if shaven, so she is not shaven. She has her hair, but is uncovered. She lacks a covering for her hair. Do we want to understand? Or do we want to play dumb? People do not want to understand today. And it's more and more in the Church of the Brethren, in our plain circles, that people do not want to understand. I'm going to assume this morning, and you personally can tell me if I'm wrong afterward. When your covering gets smaller, I'm assuming you're just not too excited about wearing it. I'm also going to assume this morning that you are somewhat getting embarrassed by it and ashamed of it. I'm assuming those things. You can tell me if I'm wrong afterwards. I welcome you to talk with me about that assumption. Maybe there are some smaller coverings because a good bit of the hair has been removed. The hair doesn't need as big of a covering anymore because some's been cut. Is that another wrong assumption? How about making it bigger? Well, that'd be a strange thing to do, wouldn't it? Try it. As the Lord convicts. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. This does not infer that the woman is not in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 makes that plain, that the woman is, along with the man, created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. So no, Paul is not inferring that the woman is not in the image of God. Verses 8 and 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Order of creation. Man's rib was taken from his side, and woman was created. God's order of creation. She was created a helpmeet for the man. God's order of creation. God's order of headship. Verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The angels take notice. When a woman is properly veiled and under the submission of the man and in God's protection because she is in his order of headship, the angels take notice. No doubt the angels of heaven and the fallen angels take notice when we are in or out of God's order of headship, and thus in or out of his umbrella of protection. Verse 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. A check on the man who thinks he can be an inconsiderate dictator in his home, thinking he can lord it over his wife. The man is reminded here. Even so, the man also by the woman. We need each other. We're a team. We're equal. We have different function and different responsibility. And thus we are accountable for different areas as a man or as a woman. As much as the woman is to know and to stay in her place, the man is to lead in gentleness and love. If you're not at peace with your spouse, you're not at peace with God. Verses 13 to 15, judging yourselves. Is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. The earlier teaching reinforced from earlier in the chapter. Don't try to change the way God made you. He either made you man or he made you woman. Today we have people who coin themselves transsexual, arguing with God, fighting with God, with the way he made you. Today we have homosexuals fighting with God in the way he made man and woman. He made them male and female. And one man and one woman are called together for a lifetime of marriage. And yet we have people today that claim to be Christian. They claim to be in God's will, and they're with, it's a woman with a woman. It's a man with a man. God pity them in the day of judgment. We need to pray that they repent. God is not willing that they should perish. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any homosexual would perish, not willing that any sinner would perish, but that all would come to repentance. All. God loves all. But there's a day of judgment coming. for those who do not repent. Don't try to change the way God made you. In creation, God placed a distinction between the sexes by their hair length, the woman's being naturally longer than the man's, and to be kept that way and let nature take its course. Now don't try to look like the other. Don't try to be like the other. Verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. The veiled sister, signifying submission to God's order of headship, is the custom, is the scripture, is the practice of Christians. It is the common practice in all the churches that Paul knows. In other words, in all Christendom, there is no other practice. There is no other custom that meets the approval of God and His Word.